everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the PensCast. I am your host, Garrett Behanna, as always alongside me, co-host of the PensCast and fellow contributing writer at Pensburg.com. It is Robbie Noggle. Robbie, this is the second time this week we're meeting, and we have a couple of different things to talk about, but how have you been since the mailbag episode earlier this week?
Nothing too exciting, just, you know, one day at a time, and we're recording this on Thursday, which means by the time you're listening to this, it's Friday, and hey, nothing better than a Friday.
Nothing is better than a Friday. I have to agree with you there. And hopefully, by the time you are listening to this episode of the PensCast, the Penguins will be declared victorious against the Dallas Stars. And part of the conversation we're going to steer it towards this week has to do with the Penguins, their playoff odds, and where they go from here with 11 games left on the schedule. Following a 2-1 defeat, really, an inexplicable defeat at the hands of the Ottawa Senators earlier in the week, the Penguins responded with a dominating 5-2 victory over the Colorado Avalanche. Like I mentioned, the Penguins have 11 games left against a variety of opponents. Some of them are good, like the Boston Bruins. Most of them, though, however, are out of a playoff spot, are rebuilding teams. They are not really fighting for much at this point in the season. Robbie, the Penguins are currently 35, 25, and 10, and they're clinging to dear life for that second wild card spot. The question is simple, really, with 11 games left. How likely is it the Penguins clinch a postseason berth? Because for a while we were saying that the numbers were on their side. The schedule is still in their favor. They had games in hand against the Islanders, and they somewhat squandered those games away. As of Thursday, early Thursday morning, Money Puck gave the Penguins a 43.9% chance to clinch a postseason berth. Hockey References Playoff Probabilities Report gave the Penguins a 49% chance on the dot. 538 is at 61%, so well over the 50% margin. These estimates, Robbie, while just that, they're just estimates, are no surefire thing and are pretty much all over the board for a team as inconsistent as the 2022-23 Pittsburgh Penguins. So, Robbie, you see the schedule that the Penguins have for the remainder of the regular season, teams like Columbus, Detroit, Philadelphia. However, you have teams like the Dallas Stars thrown in there. The Nashville Predators are fighting for a spot. They play the Boston Bruins at least one more time as well. Like I mentioned, the schedule is in their favor, Robbie, but how confident are you looking at some of these projections that the Penguins can sort of run the table and clinch a postseason berth?
I think just looking at those odds, it's exactly what it says. I think it's a coin flip, basically. If you take the high end of that being 538 at 61%, the low there being Money Puck at about 44%, Hockey Reference has them right at 49, which I think is probably, it's a 50-50 shot right now, I think. And again, the built-in advantage you had with the games played is pretty much wiped away at this point. Now tonight, when the Penguins play Dallas, we'll obviously, by the time you listen to this episode, you'll know how everything played out tonight. Toronto and Florida play, which is a very key game for the Penguins as well. But you still have one game in hand over the Islanders, which will be made up tonight against Dallas. So if the Penguins win, they draw into a tie with them. But unfortunately, based on regulation wins, the Islanders have a rather sizable advantage in that category. So if the Penguins are going to surpass the Islanders at any point the rest of the season, they are likely going to have to finish at least 1 point better than them in the standings. And Florida also has a very sizable regulation wins advantage, which is, again, the first tiebreaker. So the Penguins that way have to factor that in as well. But I think, you know, it's 50-50. You look at the schedule after Dallas tonight, you round out the month of March with a home game against the Capitals, a road game against Detroit, and a home game against Nashville. And again, the game against the Capitals, listen, they're out of the playoff picture. They're not eliminated yet, but they're not going to be there. But you know they're going to love to play spoiler for the Penguins. So you got to take that game seriously. It's at 8 o'clock, so it's going to be on TV. The Detroit game, it's a road game, but again, a game you got to win. You just have to win a game like that. You're not going to win every game from here on out, but
I mean, that would put them on an 11-game winning streak the rest of the season, which they'd be the hottest team going in the playoffs, which I think everybody'd love, but don't see that happening totally. But that's how you're wrapping up March. Three winnable games and three games I'd argue that you at least got to get 4 points out of. Minimum 4 points, discounting the Dallas game tonight, because by the time you listen to this, the Dallas game will be in the book. So I think looking at those three games, you got to get 4 points out of that. And then once the calendar flips to April, it opens hard with Boston. And then you got Philly at home, a toughie against the Devils. The Wild are never easy. And then you got Detroit, Chicago, and Columbus to wrap up the season. So April, you have three games at home, three games away, and it's going to be all to play for down that stretch. So it's really going to be what you do in those games, because really the Penguins will control their own destiny given how things are shaking out. It's a coin flip for me, and whether they make it or not, no one to blame but themselves. They're the reason they're in this position. If you really want to get into it, obviously you can blame the front office for putting them in this position. The players, hey, they're just paid to play, especially those top forwards, Crosby, Malkin, Gensel, Rust, Raquel, been carrying this team. Jason Zucker's in there as well. It's a shame that it has to be at this point, where we're, by the time this comes out, 10 games left in the season, and the Penguins are right on the playoff bubble as you can get. The closest they've been to missing the playoffs, basically in this entire Crosby Malkin era, really. They had that one scare in 2015, but ultimately made it and didn't get out of the first round, but such is life. Yeah, that's what we face these final 2-3 weeks, and you just have to hope that they get the job done. But if not, I mean, you can look back on the season and pick moments when they threw away points and that they could use now. But it is what it is, and we'll see how it plays out. But it's going to be a very adventurous final 3 weeks here.
Let's talk, I guess, a little bit. Let's shift the discussion and talk about what you kind of brought up there. The fact that we're even having this conversation, talking about the Penguins being so close to that bubble, like you mentioned. The fact that we're heading into the month of April, finishing up the month of March, and historically, for the last 15, 16, 17 years, which is an eternity in the sports landscape, no matter what sport you play, we have been routinely conditioned to maybe not give so much stock to the games in mid to late March, early April. It's become commonplace for the Penguins to really have their T's crossed and their I's dotted at this point in the season. And look, we've spent countless hours talking about hypotheticals to this point in the season, the what-if scenarios, if it is the worst-case scenario and the Penguins miss out and they do get a lottery pick. It seems so crazy to think about the Penguins in the lottery. They were in that lottery for Alexis Lafreniere a couple of years ago out of weird circumstance and maybe you could argue technicality. But with the Penguins outright missing the traditional postseason tournament under the Crosby Malkin era, it really hasn't happened. Like you mentioned, Robbie, the finger can be blamed that the executives for constructing the roster that Mike Sullivan can only coach with and the players can only play alongside. But it seems so foreign to have this kind of conversation regarding the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, maybe it's a one-off. Maybe the Penguins go into this upcoming offseason, whether they make the postseason or not, and they sort of retool like the Boston Bruins have done. And look at the Bruins, what they have accomplished this season with largely a large core of elder statesmen. There's no reason, if you want to take the glass half full approach, that the Penguins can't do something similar heading into the 2023-24 season and try and maximize what's left. But would you agree with me in saying that if the Penguins are in the lottery discussion, if they miss out on the postseason, or if they get into the first round and lose in the first round, how many heads do you think start to roll? Is Mike Sullivan's job safe? Is Ron Hextall finally out the door after what we've been pleading about for so long now. It's so hard to get a grasp on where the Penguins are because of what many consider to be absentee owners in the Fenway Sports Group. They're nameless, faceless people, just rich executives who happen to own this franchise. It was easier when Mario Lemieux and Burkle owned the team because Lemieux was one of the greatest to ever play the game. You kind of had an idea of what he was thinking as a hockey man, for lack of a better term, as a player and as an executive for so long. You kind of had the understanding, or at least it was leaked out into the media, of discontent within Lemieux and Burkle's camp, whether it was firing Bylsma, Shiro, Johnston, Rutherford, whatever. And now we're kind of left to look for anything we can, any sort of scrap we can get regarding Fenway Sports Group. But Robbie, how likely is it? If you had to put money on it, how likely is it that either the coach is gone or the general manager is gone if the Penguins don't make the postseason, or if they do make the postseason and get obliterated in four or five games?
At the very least, assuming the Penguins don't go on some magical run in the playoffs, if they get there, I think that the bare minimum is Ron Hextall is obviously gone. I really think that that is, and that is counting even just making the playoffs and losing the first round, even if it's a hard-fought first-round series or whatever. I think it's quite clear that Ron Hextall will be out the door.
You can say what you want about Fenway Sports Group, that they don't pay attention, blah, 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 blah. We really have no idea because there's been no real change. And I don't necessarily even blame them for last season, giving Ron Hextall a chance as the new owners. There was a lot of talk last year if they would maybe fire him and start with a whole fresh crew, but they didn't. They gave him a chance, and obviously there were probably some red flags and warning signs along the way. But I just think that if you look at their history with the other teams they own, Liverpool FC, a very good down this year, but a very forward-thinking club with a top-tier head coach. It's the same with the Red Sox. Yeah, they're down a little bit. They were in the ALCS 2 years ago. Definitely some maybe not great decisions if you look back at their history there, especially looking at the Mookie Betts situation and this past winter as well, where they let one of their best players, Xander Bogaerts, kind of walk, but they did lock up another franchise player in Rafael Devers. So they made it a point to go out and sign Malkin. They could have just said, hey, it's time. We're just trying to lower payroll, Malkin Letang. Thank you. But we're going to let you guys go find greener pasture somewhere else. But they didn't. They pushed to get those guys signed, and they did. Rickard Rakell, that was a big deal. Brian Rust was a big deal. So there is some, they are going to spend. That's no doubt. It's just, I think it's now time that, okay, they gave Hextall a chance, clearly not working out. The attempts to fix it have just been bad. So I think that they just try to clean house that way. And Ron Hextall and likely Brian Burke are out of the picture. Now, Mike Sullivan, you don't know what's said behind closed doors in meetings. If they do bring in a new general manager, you don't know if that general manager has somebody in mind that he'd like to coach or if he's okay with Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan, regardless of whether he gets fired or not, is going to have a job come opening night in October. Whether it's behind the Penguins bench or behind the bench of another franchise in the NHL, Mike Sullivan's going to have a job. He's still a top five head coach in the NHL. Working with what he got, you can criticize some of the deployment, but other than that, he's a part of the reason they are still where they are in a playoff pick, in the playoff picture, combined with the big three. That's just a fact. So, yeah, you don't know what happens in private meetings, whether Sullivan makes enough of an impression on a new general manager, because the new general manager comes in, he might have guys he likes. How that pans out, I don't know. I think that decision on Hextall or Sullivan will be made by the assuming new general manager. And if I had to guess, if I had to put money on it right now, I don't know how much it's going to be determined more based on who the new general manager is as compared to what the result of the season is. I think it's going to be more on the new general manager to evaluate Sullivan's role in Pittsburgh. The players, Crosby and Malkin and Letang, clearly love him. They want him in Pittsburgh. That was made clear at the beginning of the season. So I think they'll have a say in it as well. So that'll be something interesting to watch here after the season ends, whenever that may be. But I think the minimum, Ron Hextall is out the door, likely Brian Burke, a new front office is brought in, and then they make the decision on Mike Sullivan. I still lean toward Mike Sullivan will remain as the Penguins head coach. But again, things can change rapidly when a new front office, new general manager is brought in.
One last question, one last little discussion point, and we'll wrap up this week's episode edition of the PensCast. Something that has always given me pause and made me think a little bit, and you kind of mentioned it there, we don't know what happens behind closed doors in private meetings with regarding Sullivan, Hextall, whomever. The players aren't oblivious to their surroundings. They'll say all the right things in front of the cameras, and more or less I'm talking about the big three, Letang, Crosby, and Malkin. You look at the numbers that Crosby and Malkin have put up this season together, I don't believe either player has missed a game to this point, and both, even in their advanced age, at ages 30, 36 and 35, are having tremendous seasons. And if the Penguins don't make the postseason, the argument is there, and the discussion is there to be had. One of the final, perhaps the last, I don't want to say the last great season between these two or three players, but you have to have the discussion at least that this year was thrown down the drain. The production that you don't typically see from an age 34, 35, 36-year-old kind of hockey player was essentially all for naught. I'm curious, Robbie, how much sway is Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and or Chris Letang going to exert in this situation? From all accounts, at least from what is shown to the public, Sidney Crosby is a quiet leader. He seems like he is a reserved player, and whatever happens, happens, and he will let his play on the ice speak for itself. However, I know for a fact that Crosby is an incredibly driven, incredibly competitive person and player, and if he misses the postseason, even with everything working in his favor, even with the tremendous season that he has put up, that I know for a fact will not sit well with the captain. I am wondering how much say, if the Penguins do go into this offseason in a disappointing fashion, whether they get eliminated in the first round or don't clinch outright anyway, how much is Crosby, Malkin, and Letang going to come together and say, we've been doing this for 16, 17 years, and this is the first time that this has happened to us? Are they the kind of players who, maybe even behind closed doors, would demand such a change, would put their foot down and say, something has to happen because this is not working?
I think it's to the point now where they're not going to need to say anything, honestly. I think it's pretty clear that Ron Hextall's days are numbered, but if something is going on behind the scenes where maybe there is some belief that he could stay, that I could see Crosby, Malkin and Letang, they know. I mean, they're not stupid. They know their time is extremely limited, and they know, they see what happens on the ice. They know who's carrying the weight and where the problem is, and again, like I said with the Sullivan thing, they love Mike Sullivan. So if it comes to a head coach, if a new general manager comes in and gets their input on the head coach, I think they're going to stand up for Mike Sullivan. Whether or not that is what the final decision is for whoever makes that call will remain to be seen. But I think overall, that way, I think they could have some say. Now, the general manager, it's really hard to say because sometimes different owners have different philosophies and want a different general manager. The man they have running the show with the Red Sox is a very analytically forward person. He believes in the analytics. So they're going to get a front office in there that presumably shares those values like that. So
however that shakes out, that maybe that's more of a corporate decision, whereas the on-ice stuff, they do get some say. Now, could I be completely wrong and they go right to Crosby and Malkin and Letang and do this? And, hey, what do you guys think? They could absolutely do that. And they, Crosby and those three have earned the right to get a say in these decisions, regardless of who the owner is or regardless even what the final decision is, because these guys have given literally everything to this franchise. Malkin and Letang could have gone to the open market last year and got much more money than they did. We know Malkin came really close, and from the sound of it, a lot of that was ruffled feathers from the negotiation, that he was a little bitter. And if you believe the stories, I don't think it's really hard to blame him that much. But it's very clear that those guys could have gone out, got much more than what they did, even if it was a shorter deal. But playing with Crosby, playing in this city, with that penguin on the sweater, is important to them. And they have earned that right. They have sacrificed a lot for this franchise and for this city. So I think regardless of who the owners are, they deserve at least to say, put their two cents in and have their opinions weighed, because the sacrifices they made have made this entire era possible. And I think that if you look at what the issues are, a little tinkering with the right people can make a huge difference for next season. And I think Crosby and those guys know that. So when it comes to decisions as in the front office or the coach, they at least deserve to have their voices heard because of everything they've done. And it goes back to even before this last offseason with Malkin and Letang. All those guys could have gone and got big deals other places in the past. Crosby is still underpaid. Malkin's arguably still underpaid. So is Chris Letang. And they have been most of their careers. And they've sacrificed so much for this team. I think it's only right, knowing that the time is running out, that they're running out of opportunities to win another Stanley Cup, that they get a voice in the room as to what they think is the right direction to go to hopefully accomplish those goals and raise that trophy one more time before they hang up the skates for good here in the near future.
The next time we meet to recap the latest goings-on with the Pittsburgh Penguins will be next week, and by that time, games will be played against the Dallas Stars, the Washington Capitals, the Detroit Red Wings, and the Nashville Predators, so we will have an even clearer picture as we are in the home stretch, the last remaining games of the regular season, to see if the Penguins can right the ship and see if they can punch a ticket to battle for Lord Stanley's Cup. But until then, until next week's episode, I have been Garrett Behanna. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Pens Cast, and we will talk to all of you again this time next week.